With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Kings chapter 11. First Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it, for David my father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, until he had cut off every male in Edom, that Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants, with him to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. And they arose out of Midian, and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him an house, and appointed him victuals, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tapenes, the queen. And the sister of Tapenes bare him Genubat, his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubat was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, Let me depart, that I may go to mine own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, But what hast thou lacked with me, that, behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country? And he answered, Nothing. Howbeit, let me go in any wise. And God stirred him up another adversary, Resen, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him, and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus, and dwelt therein, and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel, and reigned over Syria. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light alway before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever." Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. And Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt, unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. And all the rest of the acts of Solomon, and all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I don't know, how long do you have? This is a wonderful chapter. There's so many things that are pastoral and instructive and helpful, doctrinal and practical. There's just so many good things here. So the first, I will start in the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 8. These are the actions of Solomon in his later years. It's tragic, isn't it? It's something that you want to turn away from but can't because it's right there on the page. You don't want to hear that about Solomon. You don't want to hear that about the wisest and richest man that the Lord ever endowed upon the earth. That he turned away from everything the Lord gave him, disobeyed him, and turned to Chemosh, Milcom, and so on. But he did. Don't you want to grab him by his royal lapels and say, "What were you thinking?" Can I tell you what he was thinking? He was thinking, "I should please my wives." He was thinking, "I should do what they do." He was thinking, "I have made all of these evil associations." He may not have thought of them as evil. "And now I need to follow through on what I have done." And so, when it says that Solomon loved these wives, that's the Hebrew word ahav, that is the standard word for love that we see all over the Old Testament. He loved these wives, and the implication of the writer is such that what? In these days of Solomon's life, he loved his wives more than he loved the Lord. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, be careful of your associations. Be careful of the input that you receive. Be careful where you let your mind and affections run. If the wisest and richest man that God ever endowed upon the face of the earth was able to fall, so are you. Please, please, please reckon the danger rightly of maintaining evil associations. They will turn your heart from the Lord. Evil associations in your friendships, evil associations in your entertainments, evil associations in your recreations, whatever it is that will turn your heart from the Lord, the enemy of your souls will make the most of it. He's ready. He was ready in Solomon's day, and he is ready today. Solomon actually built those high places in the mountain that faces Jerusalem. That was before Jerusalem, probably meaning the Mount of Olives. And in the Mount of Olives, if you climbed up to the Mount of Olives in Solomon's day, to the top of that mountain, you would find there a high place to Chemosh and to Milcom. Now notice the magnanimity of all of the false gods. They don't mind having altars right next to one another. Isn't that interesting? Those who preach tolerance of falsehood and error are helping you toward apostasy. Oh, those false gods, they were very accommodating. Sure, as we read in the prophet Zephaniah, you can go worship at the Lord's house in the morning, just come here in the afternoon. That's okay. But the Lord your God, He is a jealous God. He is jealous in a sense that is such a holy jealousy that it is almost unimaginable to us. The Lord knows the harm that comes to His name, reputation-wise, when people are tolerant. We must not be tolerant in our own hearts of unbelief, of having our hearts drawn away, of having something else in our lives that's going to fix it other than Him. Because whatever that thing is, the enemy of your souls will make sure you long after it and pine after it until you get it. Solomon got it. He got all of those things. It is a tragedy such that the promises that God made to David of having a house forever before him are almost destroyed. Almost destroyed. Oh, the Lord knew, the Lord saw, the Lord decreed all in advance, we know. When we look at it from our side, from the side of the temporal unfolding of things, we look at this and we see the Lord proclaiming to Jeroboam, I'm taking the kingdom away from Solomon, but because of the promise that I made to David, I won't take all of it away. There is yet something left for David, my servant. And of course, David is a type of Christ. The tragedy of it is, well, it is unimaginable to us, I suppose. Now, for those of you that have heard me speak about this before, I believe that the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon's repentance. That's what I think. I mean, it doesn't exactly say it there, but I do believe that Ecclesiastes is the repentance of Solomon and his return to the Lord after his days of apostasy. All right, so that's the first section, those evil associations. You know, it is interesting. We think of the first man, Adam, put in a perfect place, given every advantage, and he fell. We think of Solomon being the wisest and richest king that ever lived upon the face of the earth, one who had God for his God, and he fell. Let us take those things as great cautions for our own hearts. All right, so then verses 9 through 13, the Lord was angry with Solomon. because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. The anger of the Lord was not toward Solomon as an unbeliever, such that it would be the unmitigated wrath of his judgment, but it was indeed a fatherly, chastising anger, in my opinion, such that Solomon set up the loss of the kingdom for his son. The Lord judged the kingdom of Israel and took it away in large part from Solomon and from his son Rehoboam. Remember that when great men fall, many fall with them. That's why James says in James 3, verse 1, "Let not many of you become masters, my brethren, knowing that we shall incur the stricter judgment, the greater condemnation." Probably a better translation of that. Why? Because when masters, leaders, authority figures fall, the ripples of that fall extend to those who are under their authority in such a way that while they may not, those under the authority, may not have fallen in the same way, they will bear some of those temporal consequences. And so the wars, the fighting, the apostasy that takes place. Remember that Solomon got the ball rolling. And so we remember then that when great men fall, others fall with them. Others are affected with those temporal judgments. But we note also the kindness of the Lord, that he's a covenant-keeping and promise-honoring God, and for David's sake he held the judgment in abeyance until the death of Solomon. And so this is one of those instances where we see that you know, we have an order that is a proclaimed order, and yet sometimes that order will not be kept, but something in testimony to that order will be retained instead. And that's what we have here in the death of Solomon and then the rending of the kingdom in the days of Rehoboam. Well, it was not, however, like that there was no temporal consequence to Solomon. The grand temporal consequence was the tearing of the kingdom. But before that, three adversaries rose up against Solomon. The Lord did raise up adversaries against him and plagued him during his days. Remember how much of a change that would have been for Solomon, because what characterized the early days of Solomon's reign during his building program, those first 20 years, the 7-year building of the temple and the 13-year building of the other buildings, the palace and the palace in the woods and so on. What characterized that? Peace. Solomon was a man of peace. His kingdom was a kingdom of peace. And then suddenly, all of these wars break out here and there. And some even from within his own nation, such as Jeroboam. Not only foreigners raising up those cries against Solomon, but someone even from within his own nation, Jeroboam. And so we see then that the Lord did stir up adversaries against Solomon in that day. And can we say it rightly here? Number one, this, that was a chastisement. Number two, if Solomon would consider it rightly, that was indeed salutary. That he would make a good use of those chastisements and repent of his evil way. That's why the Lord sends them. He sends them not because he enjoys us and our suffering. He sends them not because he's mad and he needs to get his anger out on us. He sends them that we will repent, that we will change our course and turn to him instead. And so we read about Hadad the Edomite and so on and these others that the Lord had raised up. Let's also remember that when we think about that, that some of those men had a very slow burn for their anger. They burned against the house of David and Solomon for a long, long time. They waited for the death of David and for the death of Joab. And in the case of the man that was in Egypt, who had been treated like a prince in Egypt, when he heard that Joab and David were dead, he said, "I'm going home." And Pharaoh says to him, "What have you lacked since you've been here with me?" "Nothing. Not a thing. Just give me leave to go." And so let us also take that as a negative example, that slow burn of anger that continued with him until he could return and do what he thought was his right to exact his vengeance. So we see that as well, don't we? Then we have the final section with Jeroboam. And I guess because of the time here, let me just briefly mention a couple of things about Jeroboam. That Jeroboam was noticed by Solomon as a man of industry. And I just want to just stop right there for a moment and say, children, listen to me very carefully. Learn how to be people of industry. Learn how to be people that are industrious. Learn how to be busy about doing the right things. We live in an age where there are all kinds of distractions and recreations that are at our fingertips, that are not industrious, that rather feed our own desires and wants for recreation and playtime. There's nothing wrong with recreation and playtime in the right contexts. But my dear brothers and sisters, Jeroboam is noticed because he is a man of industry. Literally, the Hebrew reads, he was a man of work. Jeroboam got up every morning, pulled on his boots, and went to work. Whatever his duties were, he was industrious, diligent. That's why Solomon took notice of him. Please, take that as a good example from Jeroboam and be people of industry. Not industry business, but people busy about the right things, taking up those things that the Lord has put into our hands and working them for His glory. And that habitually and diligently. Secondly, let's remember also that the Lord made some wonderful and contingent promises to Jeroboam. Jeroboam, I'm going to give you a house like David if you follow me. The Lord doesn't call someone into His service, especially within the land of Israel, to come and to serve Him for nothing. The Lord offered him great blessing and encouragements to obedience. We're going to find out that Jeroboam turned his back on all of those. But the Lord offered them. They were there. Don't think that you, my dear brothers and sisters, serve the Lord for naught. The Lord offers blessing beyond imagining to those that serve Him, to those who are people of business, people of industry in His kingdom. Oh, it may not be the blessings that the world calls blessings. It may not be the advantages that the world calls advantages. In fact, those advantages may be like we read in Psalm 131 today. Quiet advantages. Small advantages. Small in the world's sight and great in the sight of God. There are times when the Lord says in Scripture, speaking of various things, the world thinks this is little, but in my sight, it's huge. It's great. It's magnificent. So then, we have these great promises. Now we note the reaction of Solomon. Solomon before, had he heard that the Lord had blessed someone, would have said, "Blessed be the Lord." Now what does Solomon do? We notice how far he has fallen. When he hears that the Lord has said these things to Jeroboam, then he seeks to kill him. He seeks to slay him. He seeks to do away with any competition to the throne. And I'm sure that Solomon was able to justify such actions in his mind. Well, it was promised to me and David. So then, let's remember that when we fall in one area, generally speaking, that fall extends its tentacles into other areas as well. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Kings chapter 11.